Arizona News Radio. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney conducts a town hall meeting in Sun Lakes this afternoon. He met with business leaders in Tucson this morning.
Presuming that there's still a pretty heated contest going on by the time Arizona has its primary, this will be a very important state. And it's going to be early in the process.
Michelle Bachmann, meanwhile, is meeting with Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Phoenix. Very strong thunderstorms again in northern Arizona.
We've got a big area of low pressure moving overhead, so it's providing a lot of instability and moisture for these storms to form.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies say the body of a man wanted for a double homicide may have been found in a van north of Prescott.
Positive identification is pending medical examiner analysis.
Tucson police arrest a 71-year-old man in connection with a fatal traffic accident that killed a 22-year-old woman.
In all cases of this nature, we try to ascertain whether or not drugs, alcohol, speed, those things of that nature were a factor in the collision. And in this incident, it doesn't appear that they were.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the good folks at In-N-Out Burger. Look for a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder, westbound I-10 at 99th Avenue. Also a disabled vehicle southbound I-17 at the I-10 transition. And you're going to find some slight delays in the East Valley, eastbound US 60 between 10 and Gilbert. Serving you quality you can taste in every bite. Fresh grilled, doubled, every single freshly cut fry, every real ice cream shake since 1948. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from KFNX Weather Center. After some pretty good showers last night around the valley, a nice cool afternoon for us. Tonight, mostly clear, and then tomorrow and Friday, we still keep it in the mid to upper 90s. But by Saturday and Sunday, we're back over 100. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News time is 4:05. Currently in Central Phoenix, we're at 92 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the Legalese Radio Show with your host, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, how come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com. Not Geico.RidiculouslySimpleSavings or Geico.PayYourBill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, gecko man.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A righty on the left coast. The Lars Larson Show. Weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Thank you, Chet. This is Dennis Willinchek on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, leading into the Lou Dobbs Show. And this week we have, a very fascinating program. Sorry we only have an hour to get it all done in, but this program now is about this Operation Fast and Furious that most of you, I think, out there have heard something about. Just to lead into the program, and by the way, today we have on with us two ATF agents, who we'll be talking to for the hour. But before we turn to them, let me just prelude the show. Some 2,000 firearms from the Lone Wolf Trading Company store in Arizona and others in southern Arizona were illegally sold under an ATF program called Fast and Furious. Most of you remember that movie with Vin Diesel, I think, that allowed straw purchasers to walk away with the weapons and turn them over to criminal traffickers. But the agency's plan to trace the guns to the cartels never worked. We'll be talking today about why this scheme came up in the first place, why it never did work, and why ultimately it led to the death of a Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, whose family grieves for him now because of this ill-conceived program by the federal government. And We're going to be talking today with Vince Cefalu and Jay Dobbins. And both these gentlemen have extensive knowledge about this program. Just to go on for a moment, the Department of Justice in Washington issued a statement last week that said that one other Fast and Furious firearm turned up at a violent crime scene in this country. They've yet to provide any more details to the public. They said another 28 Fast and Furious weapons were recovered at violent crimes in Mexico. They've not identified those cases either. The Mexican government maintains that an undisclosed number of Fast and Furious weapons have been found at some 170 crime scenes in their country. And we did request that the owner of the gun shop be on air, but he could not be on air due to some kind of a legal issue that he has. As I said, we do have on two officers, and before we get to them, I want to talk to you also for a minute about some of the fallout from this crazy Fast and Furious program. And recently, as again many of you know, Dennis Burke, who was the United States Attorney for the District of Arizona, got physically ill during questionings in late August when questioned by congressional investigators about this matter. He became so ill that he could not finish his questioning. Many of you recall that Mr. Burke was affiliated with Janet Napolitano when she was governor, and I believe even before then when she was attorney general. I believe he was her second in command for a significant period of time. Janet Napolitano, of course, Homeland Security Director now, Secretary, has claimed that she knew nothing about this operation until she learned of Brian Terry's death. We're going to be exploring those issues and how far up the chain this operation went, who knew about what, when, as Senator Sam Ervin said in the past with respect to the Watergate fiasco, and what the fallout is from this operation Fast and Furious, and where it's going to take or go, and where it will lead to. So on the phone with us now, we have these two agents, Mr. Cefalu and Mr. Dobbins. Are you with us now on the telephone?
I am. Yes, I am.
Well, thank you so much for appearing on our show today. It's a fascinating topic. I know you're out of state, so we appreciate your being on the line. I just want to say before we get rolling here, again, as another prelude, that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, known as the ATF, of course, is being accused, according to a story that I read, of retaliating against one of you because you helped publicize the agency's role in allowing thousands of guns to cross the border and fall into the hands of Mexican drug gangs, which is, I mean, insane for most of us. And I believe that's Mr. Cefalu, and who spoke out about the ATF's so-called Project Gunrunner scandal, or Fast and Furious. And my understanding is, Mr. Cefalu, you were served with termination papers after that. And you have stated, I believe, that the obvious reason for that was political. And your statement that I read was that aside from Jay Dobbins, who's on the air with us as well, that you don't know of anyone that's been more vocal about ATF mismanagement than you. You are a senior agent, senior special agent, or you were, based in Dublin, California. And you said that that's why this is happening. And Mr. Dobbins, we should point out, is a special agent based in Tucson, and he has appeared several times on Fox News to discuss the scandal. So I guess I turn to you first, Mr. Cefalu. What happened? Why'd you get fired?
Well, first of all, I'm not fired.
Okay.
There's a proposal to terminate me, but there's a long way between a proposal and proving the allegations and terminating me.
Okay, so let's get into that. The story then that I read that you were terminated then is not accurate.
That's correct.
Okay.
It is not accurate. I have been served with a proposed termination.
Tell us what that means. What is the difference, really? What goes on between a proposed termination and an actual termination? Are you allowed to have hearings and call witnesses and defend
exactly.
yourself? Okay.
Exactly. We get that. Challenge the government's assertions and challenge any documentation they provided and their witnesses, their credibility, the In this case, you know, much of the information was fabricated. I went 21 years with EFS evaluation, seats fully satisfactory evaluations. 10 days before I made my complaint, I got mid-year outstanding evaluation exceeding all categories. I made my complaint, and my next annual evaluation was unsatisfactory.
Yeah, let's talk about your complaint, and then Mr. Dobbins can also be heard on this. Your complaint was what exactly?
Well, mine was really regionalized initially to the leadership of the San Francisco Field Division that were turning a blind eye to some unethical practices in an investigation I was working. It's pretty well publicized. You can read about it on cleanupatf.org or in the newspapers or whatever. But I made the allegations and was threatened immediately with a transfer to Fargo, North Dakota. That ultimately led to 5 transfers, 2 suspensions, 3 reprimands, a referral for a psych eval, and now the second termination attempt against me. And so now we'll just litigate this out and figure it out and put all our cards on the table. The problem is the system is broken. Agent Dobbins and myself and dozens of others have come forward over the years with outrageous misconduct by our senior leadership, violations of rules, laws, and policies, which qualifies as whistleblower conduct. And ATF has been able to spin it internally in their administrative system and launch a bunch of reprisals.
Right.
But, you know, it's not my job to hold the federal government accountable.
No, but let's try to stick today to, if we can, because we do have limited time. Let's try to stick today to this Operation Fast and Furious and what you guys know about that. So what do you know about that operation that apparently went awry by anyone's definition of the term? It wound up killing Brian Terry in the process. And by the way, I might point out that there is a fundraising benefit to remember Brian Terry Saturday, November 12th from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Scottsdale International Auto Museum at 9119 East Indian Bend Road. It's a fundraiser to assist his family. But what do you know about this?
I appreciate you mentioning that, by the way, because
yeah,
that does directly help the family. Fast forward through these years of our trying to challenge senior management and their decisions, many of who were involved in this, most specifically in Agent Dobbins's redresses, and had they been addressed, Fast and Furious would have never happened.
Well, let me ask you guys, Agent Dobbins, maybe you should, if you can, answer this. You weren't, both of you were not directly involved in this operation. I should make that clear, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And let me go back just a step here in the previous conversation. Let me say for Vince what he probably won't say for himself. Vince Cefalu was alleged to have committed a lack of candor violation. And that is the basis for what they're
That's ironic, to. Isn't it?
Now, that the situation is Vince Cefalu has been a partner of mine for 25 years. He's a rough boy, and he's done this job in a very, very aggressive way, standing in between the predators in our community, the violent crime in our community, and the good and innocent people out there. But one thing that he's not is that he's not a liar, and that he's not someone who twists or fabricates or morphs facts or the truth.
Well, let me just ask you, though. Let me interrupt you. Where did this operation go wrong? I mean, why don't you start, and then we'll let Vince continue on. I mean, this is an outrageous – you talk about lack of candor. This is an incredible lack of candor by our government, as I see it. Some Border Patrol agent was killed with weapons that basically our government was involved in providing to criminals. How much more ridiculous could that be? With no oversight as to where these weapons are going, who's using them, and how do you trace that? Don't you find that outrageous?
Every ATF agent who ever carried an ATF badge and a gun knows that it's our job to deny access to criminals, of firearms to criminals. And when criminals do get firearms, and when they do use them in violent crimes, it's our job to go out and investigate and apprehend them. So when the audience tries to process what took place in Fast and Furious, and they're looking at the laws of the land and the policies of the Bureau, this violates even the most simple policies of logic, reason, and common sense. It is absolutely the opposite of what our mission is and what ATF is mandated to do.
Yeah, I think that's clear. Now, I've got 2 minutes, and I want to just ask you this before our break, and then we'll pick this up when we come back. This incredible story, really, of how this Operation Fast and Furious went haywire. But the bottom line to this is our U.S. attorney here in Arizona, Burke, resigned over this. Whatever he says he resigned over, it's clear to me and any thinking person that it had something to do with this, given the timing. But is that where this came from? Is he the right guy to take the fall, or did he take the fall to protect others that are higher up?
He's one of the guys. This isn't going to rest on any one individual's shoulders. It goes from the field level of ATF through the highest levels of ATF management into the Department of Justice. And what now is apparent is that it goes into the White House. And how high in the White House? You know, Congressman Issa and Senator Grassley are trying to determine that.
Yeah.
But there's been such a cover-up, such a stonewalling. There is no transparency.
All right, let me ask you this before the break. Vince, you can answer this if you want. We've got 1 minute. Do you think that Burke resigned to cover up something for Janet Napolitano? Is that something that's occurred to you as being reasonable or not?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I'm trying to stay on the facts, what we know. I know.
So you don't know that as you speak?
Fast and furious. I know it was directly
a result
of that.
All right. To try to protect Janet. If Dennis Burke did resign trying to protect Janet Napolitano, I'll tell you this, it's not going to work.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back and talk about the congressional oversight hearings into Operation Fast and Furious when we return. I appreciate our guests, Vince Cefalu and Jay Dobbins, returning with us. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we'll be back after these commercial messages.
Log on now at 1100KFNX.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Are you or someone you know struggling with addiction? Knowing where to turn may seem like a huge hurdle. The Art of Recovery Expo is the perfect place for everyone to discover solutions and resources for addictions and benefit from the help of behavioral health experts. The expo is free and open to the public. Come to Phoenix Convention Center on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Learn how to help or prevent addiction in your life and the lives of the ones you love. Visit artofrecoveryexpo.com and find us on Facebook for more information.
London Gold, it's the best.
When I said yes, it's because you said you would love me for the rest of my life. When I said yes, it's because I felt the same. Now, it's my turn to ask you the big question. Do you know that a woman can never have too many diamonds? There's a reason for the expression, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Oh, but don't get jealous, because my love for you is very different than my love for diamonds.
London Gold has been helping couples express their love with diamonds for over 30 years at three Valley locations. Browse the largest selection of diamond stud earrings in the Southwest, located in Scottsdale, Arrowhead, and Chandler, and at LondonGold.com. London Gold, voted best in Phoenix and always better than a sale with recent price reductions on thousands of your favorite items. Take the guesswork out of gift giving. Diamonds are a safe bet, and they never go out of style.
London Gold, it's the best.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And this is Dennis Wolinchek, and we are back on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, KFNX, News Talk Radio, 1100. And we are talking with Vince Cefalu and Jay Dobbins this week, who are ATF agents, about this Operation Fast and Furious. And although they were not directly involved in the operation, they certainly have a lot of insight into it. And Mr. Cefalu is now on leave because of being what he has termed a whistleblower. Mr. Dobbins is in the field in Tucson, I believe, still presently. And I've got to ask you guys now to do me a favor and our audience, listening audience, to take us into a situation like Operation Fast and Furious, even though you were not directly involved in it. If you can create a visual for our audience of how an operation like this works, regardless of who ordered it, we'll get back to that and the congressional investigations after that. But I think it's important we understand from you guys on the inside doing this for many years, what did this operation consist of? Can you help us with that?
Well, what happened here is there's obviously a firearms trafficking issue, you know, on our southwest border. And in order to investigate that, we go out and we try to find people that are buying weapons, sometimes buying them under the appearances of legality, and then sending them into Mexico. A bulk of these weapons, a huge amount, over 2,000, were sent to cartels, drug cartels in Mexico, basically domestic terrorists in Mexico, and they were allowed to reach these people and to be purchased here in the United States with ATF's permission, with the intent or the spoken intent that ATF wanted to track where these firearms were ending up. The problem is they had no mechanism in place to actually track that, and all they did was count dead bodies to determine where the guns that were coming through this operation were ending up at.
I mean, guys, is that not insane or what? I mean, I can't think of anything more insane that our government would be involved in an idiotic program like that. I mean, I understand the idea of setting up a sting operation. It's done all the time. But this wasn't really even a sting operation in the sense that it's my understanding that some guy walked into this store, whatever it was, Lone Wolf or whatever the name exactly is, and basically without agents even monitoring it, bought all kinds of weaponry, as you say, that wound up in the hands of the wrong folks. Is that about it? I mean, where was the ATF when he was buying all this stuff?
Well, at one point, there's a buyer that was involved in this case that was on food stamps. Okay, this guy didn't have two nickels to rub together, who was dropping $10,000 and $15,000 down at a time to buy assault weapons, to the extent of where this guy bought 500 or 600 guns that went into Mexico. ATF knew what this guy was doing and never engaged in any enforcement action against this guy until after Brian Terry was murdered.
I just, you know, listening to this, I think, as any sensible person would, I'm repulsed by this. I mean, my understanding is, let me just read this from an article that I read, the owner of the store, the firearm dealer, basically, that was sort of used as this point of sale in southern Arizona, has stated that a chubby, bald, and very confident man, as he described it, named Jaime Avila, walked into his store on January 16th, 2010, and bought AK-47s which clearly would spell out something weird right there. Under the Fast and Furious protocol that was in place, the agents were supposed to use video cameras, surveillance, informants, and law enforcement intelligence to follow the weapons and hope they led them to the truck cartels. As you say, there was no real anything in place to monitor that. But anyway, no agents were watching, it's my understanding, on the hidden cameras or waiting outside to track the firearms when Avila showed up. The owner of the store faxed a copy of the sale paperwork to the ATF after the firearms were already gone, assuming they would catch up later, which they never did. Between November of 2009 and June 2010, according to an ATF agent's email to William Newell, then special agent in charge in Phoenix, Avila walked away with 52 firearms after he paid approximately $48,000 in cash. The firearms consisted of FN 5.7 pistols, one Barrett 50 BMG rifle, AK-47 variant rifles, Rugers, Colt 38s, etc. Sometime in the spring or early summer of 2010, exact date being unknown, U.S. immigration officers reportedly stopped this man, Avila, at the Arizona border with the two semi-automatics and 30 other weapons. According to two sources close to the congressional investigation into this mess, the authorities checked with the ATF and were told to release him with the weapons because the ATF was still hoping to track the guns to cartel members even then. Is this your understanding of what happened?
that's one of the circumstances under which this debacle ran. There were multiple firearms licensees asked and volunteered to participate, you know, at our direction, in good faith that we took the firearms from when they left their custody and would ensure they expressed their concerns that these firearms were going to their do-wells. And we assured them, our leadership assured them, and on several occasions they got very nervous and tried to follow up, and they were told all is well.
Well, you know, a final point to that is when the weapons were recovered at the scene of the agent slaying, that is Brian Terry's slaying, the ATF officials in Phoenix apparently scrambled, saying that all these ATF guys were showing up. One law enforcement official recalled, we were trying to catch suspects and rope up the crime scene, and all the ATF guys were saying they needed the serial numbers, they needed the serial numbers. So apparently the weapon that killed Brian Terry was one of the weapons that this Avila apparently bought. I mean, guys, we've got 1 minute left before the break, but is this typical of how the ATF operates?
Dennis, I'll tell you this. When Congressman Gabby Giffords was shot in Tucson, and she had made some pretty bold statements, profound statements against border violence, when she was killed, the ATF Phoenix Field Division management was in full meltdown panic because they believe that potentially one of the guns that they had allowed to pass through our operation was the gun that was used to shoot Gabby Giffords and murder those other people in Tucson.
We're going to come back to that and more issues relating to this crazy Operation Fast and Furious after the news break, and appreciate our guests staying around. Thank you.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Libya's interim leadership is giving residents of the pro-Gaddafi stronghold of Bani Walid 48 hours to leave the city. Meanwhile, an assistant secretary of state has arrived in Tripoli to meet with the new leaders. Iran's court system says it's considering a request to set bail for two American hikers convicted of spying, suggesting their release may not be going as nearly quickly as their lawyers seem to indicate. But we're now getting word that an Omani representative might be heading to Tehran, perhaps to negotiate a release. A federal report says BP, Transocean, and Halliburton all share responsibility for last year's Gulf of Mexico explosion and oil spill. The report says they all violated a number of safety regulations. It traces a key cause of the disaster to a bad cement job at that problem well. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney conducts a town hall meeting in Sun Lakes this afternoon. He met with business leaders in Tucson this morning.
Presuming that there's still a pretty heated contest going on by the time Arizona has its primary, this will be a very important state. And it's going to be early in the process.
Michelle Bachmann, meanwhile, is meeting with Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Phoenix. Very strong thunderstorms again in northern Arizona.
We've got a big area of low pressure moving overhead. So it's providing a lot of instability and moisture for these storms to form.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies say the body of a man wanted for a double homicide may have been found in a van north of Prescott.
Positive identification is pending medical examiner analysis.
Tucson police arrest a 71-year-old man in connection with a fatal traffic accident that killed a 22-year-old woman.
In all cases of this nature, we try to ascertain whether or not drugs, alcohol, speed, those things of that nature were a factor in the collision. And in this incident, it doesn't appear that they were.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of your Arizona Farmers Insurance agents. Look for an injury collision, Guadalupe Road at Rural. Good news, though, gang, it is in the clearing stages. Also, we do have a fender bender on the left shoulder, westbound I-10 at 7th Street. That's going to create some problems as you head out this afternoon. And you're going to find some slowing on the 17 northbound between the curve and northern. Are you saving as much as you could? See how your knowledgeable local farmer's agent can save you money. Call Karen Olson at 623-582-1753. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Chet, thank you very much. We have a nice Tuesday planned for everybody. A high of 99 degrees. Looks like by this evening, more showers and thunderstorms will form in the deserts, mainly north and east of the valley. Then tomorrow through Friday, it's sunny and warm. Jim out. KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News time is 4:33 currently in central Phoenix. We are holding steady at 92 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. This is Chet Reynolds. You're up to date, and somebody just made me smile like a big dog.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hey gang, Chad Reynolds here. I just want to tell you a quick story about my experience with Zero Res. I recently bought a condo and was getting ready to gut the place and get new carpet because it was pretty nasty. Then I heard these ads on KFNX where I work and thought, these guys talk pretty big. And when I heard the special they were running, I figured I could afford to put it to the test. Now, I'm still not sure what empowered water is, but I did see it in action and they saved the carpet in my condo. The fact that they don't use soaps or chemicals and to see the carpet go from black to white with empowered water, that made a believer out of me. Now, in the past, when I've had my carpets cleaned, when it dries, it's usually crunchy and stiff. You know what I'm talking about? But with Zero Res, the carpet dried quickly and it was soft and felt amazing. When they asked me to share my experience, I felt this is something I can stand behind. And they also said I could give you guys a great special. Call today and mention you heard Chet from KFNX talk about Zero Res and you'll get 3 rooms of carpet pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for only $119. Call 480-507-2419. That's 480-507-2419 or schedule online at ZeroResPhoenix.com. Remember Zero Res. Spelled backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Dennis Willinchek back on Legalese, 4 to 5 every Wednesday on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. We're talking now with Vince Scheffelew and Jay Dobbins, agents at ATF, about this wacky, fast and furious operation that went awry. Now, again, we have limited time, but I want to get to a lot of points, but let's talk now, gentlemen, about this congressional investigation. I've got a couple of clips here ready to roll from Daryl Issa, who is apparently the congressman in charge of that. But before I do, Congressman Issa has stated that he thinks authorization of the operation that we're talking about here today, Fast and Furious, this gun-running operation, if you will, overseen by ATF of all people, of all agencies, went as high as the Assistant Attorney General, Lanny Brewer. And Congressman Issa also says the documents he is getting from the Obama administration are heavily redacted so as to basically be worthless. And Agent Newell, who we talked about earlier, who's the agent in charge here in Phoenix, said in a sworn testimony that the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security were responsible for the development and implementation of Operation Fast and Furious. Yet, as I said earlier, Janet Napolitano and Robert Mueller from the FBI, the director, claim they only heard about it after Agent Terry's death. And thus far, there are no charges against anyone that may be responsible for this. I'm going to play these clips, as I said, in a second for Mr. Issa, but I want to ask you first, both of you, Agent Dobbins, and I'm getting some feedback, by the way, so I don't know whose phone is doing that, but if you can check on that, I'd appreciate it. Let me just ask you, based on your own analysis of what's going on here, did any of the agents that you've spoken to question this operation tactically or the reality of this or do a reality check? Or do agents just basically do as they're told and don't question these things as they're rolling out?
Nearly every agent that was a participant in it questioned it, challenged it. Some agents completely stepped away from it and said they weren't going to participate in it. Every agent, every person who's ever gone through the ATF Academy and learned what this agency is about and how we do our business knew that this was wrong.
Well, okay, well, I'm going to play some of these clips. Chet, if you can play clip number one, about 25-second clip, and then I'm going to ask some questions about it.
ATF wanted to grab the people at the first point in which they could get a legitimate prosecution and stop the guns, or in this case, grenades, from being trafficked. Unfortunately, the U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice, wanted to wait and wait and wait. And unfortunately, they waited until precursors, basically bomb-making materials, had already crossed into Mexico and the Mexicans had failed to intervene.
All right, let me ask you. That was Darrell Issa, again, the chairman of the committee looking into this whole mess. My first question, who specifically on the ground would order an ATF agent to wait?
That's well documented, that the supervisor, through his chain of command with the special agent in charge and assistant special agent in charge, were all on board with that practice, and they would order the agents to stand down. I know specifically the attaché in Mexico was appalled when he was told to stand down and let those grenade bodies go, and they took it to headquarters, and headquarters sided with Newell and told the attaché if he didn't stand down and let it happen, he'd be removed from Mexico.
All right, let me ask you this now. Grenades? I mean, now we've gone from AK-47s, assault rifles now being sold under the nose of the ATF to criminals. Now we've got grenades involved. Where were those purchased, and what's the idea behind that? I mean, I just am in shock.
They were grenade bodies.
There was a suspect.
Yeah, go ahead, Dobbins.
There was a suspect who was caught at the Yuma point of entry with over 100 inert hand grenade hulls secreted in the spare tire of his vehicle. They were found after his vehicle was X-rayed, and the customs people at the border felt that they had over 100 live explosive devices. When the guy was questioned, he said, yeah, I take these grenade hulls into Mexico, and I rearm them, and I provide them to the cartels. When that was reported back to the U.S. Attorney's Office and to ATF management, the U.S. Attorney's Office told the field agents that were on the scene that they would not prosecute the case, that they considered the grenade hulls to be novelty items. Ignored the intent. They ignored the obvious criminal intent of the design this guy was using to get him into Mexico, and basically let this guy go. He was later arrested just within the last month with hundreds of explosive devices and explosive remanufacturing equipment in Mexico.
Unreal. Now let me play because again we're moving short on time here. Let me play the second clip, Chet, if you can do that. Clip number two, it's about 17 seconds, from Darrell Issa, who's the man in charge of this congressional investigation determining how this happened and how far up it goes up the chain.
Whenever you talk about human mistakes, you have to say what was in the system that allowed that human mistake to go on and perpetuate itself. And our committee is the Government Reform Committee. We're about making sure that there's a system to prevent this in the future. When we have assurances that that system is in place, then our job is done.
Guys, will there be a system in place, in your opinion, to make sure that this kind of nonsense does not go on again or not?
There has to be. If there's not accountability, and I don't see transferring these same people responsible for this into other leadership positions in ATF headquarters are going to prevent anything from this occurring again. That's not accountability. It's not about blame. There are some people who are more accountable and more liable for these actions than others. But we have senior managers who allowed this to go on and are being protected by the ATF attorneys and the internal system and withholding information from a congressional committee.
And at the same time, we might add to our listening audience, putting you on administrative leave for pointing out some of these ridiculous things that are going on. Let's not forget that. Agent Dobbins, let me ask you, are you worried about the same thing happening to you?
Well, you know, the same thing has happened to me. That I reported the mismanagement, the corrupt nature of the Phoenix Field Division to ATF headquarters in the Department of or the Office of the Inspector General as early as 2006, 2008, for the same people, for Bill Newell, for George Gillette. And I was basically told
you shut up and go away. We're backing our guys. ATF management, the federal government, DOJ, knew that they had corrupt, reckless, dangerous managers running the ATF Phoenix Field Division, and they allowed them to sit in place and create what we now know as Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and that whole mess led to one good man dying, Brian Terry. And I should point out again that there is a fundraising benefit for him this Saturday from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Scottsdale International Auto Museum, 9119 East Indian Bend Road, for those of you that want to contribute something for his family. He was killed in the line of duty. The man served his country since he was 18 years of age. He died at 40. He was a former Marine police officer and a Border Patrol agent when he died. A true American hero, and died at the senselessly with weaponry that our own government essentially provided to known criminals. Guys, when I say this, it's hard to even understand. You know, as I say that, in the United States of America, how that could go on. Aren't you in shock about this?
Yeah, we're all across the country sickened by it. I haven't spoken to one ATF agent or supervisor who doesn't hang their head. By the way, that fundraiser is in November.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say the wrong date there?
Yeah, I did, actually.
You're right. I apologize. You're right. It is Saturday, November 12th, and I apologize to everybody. It is... again, at Scottsdale International Auto Museum on Indian Bend Road, 9119 East Indian Bend Road, in November. I apologize.
Dennis, the hypocrisy of this situation, the hypocrisy here at ATF of this situation is that Brian Terry was murdered. Hundreds of Mexican citizens are dead. Vince Cefalu, for reporting the truth, is being terminated. And the very people that orchestrated this, arranged it, supported it, and now are defending it, are all taken care of within ATF's management system. They all have jobs. They all have safe havens. And no one is taking any action against them.
Let me ask you, has the Congressional Oversight Committee looking into this, and I assume they'll continue on with their work, have they actually called you to testify?
I have not been called. I would love to testify.
I find it hard to believe that we could find you, but they couldn't. So that makes me kind of nervous right there. An oversight
committee. Well, they're aware, but they're being very pragmatic about it, and you know they're building a case, and they're trying to get to the facts. And because we're periphery, ours goes to institutional knowledge of how this happened and how it can be prevented in the future. And that may come at a later date. That may not be the impetus right now. They're still trying to find out what happened and who did it.
Yeah.
And they're having a struggle with that. I mean, we raise our hands every day and tell the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're entrusted with. And none of our managers can step forward and say, here's the documents. We made a mistake, and here's what happened. Let's fix it.
Well, let me ask you before we take the break, because we have a break coming up here real quickly in a minute. Quickly, 30 seconds each of you. Are both of you concerned this is going to happen again, something silly like this, crazy like this?
If changes don't occur within this agency, if new managers are not brought in, you obviously have to strip those given Mr. Melson and others counsel and acting and management roles, because they had an obligation to stop it. Even if they weren't directly involved in it, they took an oath. And many managers have said they were aware of it. I mentioned it shouldn't happen. Our Intel DAD said, you know, I said, how long are you going to let this go on? Well, you're a deputy assistant director of Intel. You should have stopped it or reported it right then.
All right, what about you, Agent Dobbins? What do you think before we take our break?
I agree wholeheartedly with Vince. Without accountability, without the people that put this in place, and without them remaining protected within the system, it will happen again, it will repeat again, and it'll be worse.
Wow. Well, this is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. We're going to take our break. It's about a little quarter to five, and we're going to come back right after these commercial messages to continue talking with these two ATF agents about Operation Fast and Furious.
Lou Dobbs, afternoons at 5 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan? Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. eLoan Choice has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are at all-time lows, and that means lower interest and lower payments for you. Lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting, even one day, could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time home buyers, call eLoan Choice now. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that's the best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible and discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Rates may never be this low again in your lifetime, so don't miss out. Call 800-917-3794. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794.
An important message from Medicare.
Hi, Sarah. I just spoke with Pamela. Did you know the health care law gives us new Medicare preventive benefits? Like a yearly wellness visit. It's our chance to talk with our doctor about our care.
That's what I would.
Medicare also covers recommended cancer and preventive screenings.
Actually, I was the one who told Pamela.
Learn more at Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE. And tell your friends and family. Share the news. Share the health.
Somebody's got to say it. That's why Neil Bortz is on the airwaves. Weekday mornings at 10 on KFNX.
This is Dennis Walenchek, and we're back here at the KFNX studios in Midtown Phoenix, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And this week on Legalese, we've been talking to ATF agents Vince Sheffalo and Jay Dobbins. Vince is on administrative leave of some kind, notice that they may be trying to terminate him, whatever that means, and Jay is still active in the field. And Vince basically was given this information because of being a whistleblower on various items, but we're here talking specifically today about this Operation Fast and Furious is one of them. And an incredible story here, I got to tell you, out of all the stories we've covered, this to me is takes the cake, that our own government basically was involved in the providing of weaponry, serious weaponry, including potentially grenades, to known criminals and drug cartels, and without anything in place to seriously track this weaponry to make sure it didn't wind up in the hands of the wrong people, which, of course, is kind of silly because it was already in the hands of the wrong people. And these weapons were used, obviously, for the purpose intended to kill various people, and one of whom was Brian Terry, who was a Border Patrol agent who was gunned down with one of these weapons that were purchased at a store in southern Arizona with virtually no oversight by the ATF, when, in fact, the ATF's mandate, its job, is to basically make sure that such weapons are not sold to this type of individual, which makes the story so truly incredible to me. Now, let me ask you guys before we get rolling on some other items before we have to leave for the day. President Obama has talked about transparency in government and change and all this stuff. We've talked about it on the show now for a long time. What is this any evidence of any change that's positive, what we're seeing here in this program, this Fast and Furious ridiculous situation?
One of the very first public statements that President Obama made after his election was that he was going to demand transparency in government and demand transparency in his administration. The top law enforcement officer in the United States, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, has completely disregarded that instruction, has been obstructionist, has stonewalled Congress in trying to find the truth. The Department of Justice, our highest legal entity, is stonewalling our own people, our own taxpayers, in denying them the truth on what took place here. And I think President Obama needs to find out why that happened, how that happened, and he needs to hold his cabinet member, Eric Holder, accountable and responsible for this taking place during their administration and on their watch.
Well, let's talk about that some more, actually, now that you raise that. It also seems incredible, at least to me, that a congressional committee has to look into this, that the president, as you say, himself isn't directly involved in cleaning house and figuring out how this happened. You know, they use Burke as the sacrificial lamb, let's say, which I'm not being critical of. He should be. Certainly he should not have been involved in this thing and had to be in some way, obviously, deeply involved in it. But it's hard for anyone to believe that he's the only one whose head should roll. I mean, the fact of the matter is you cannot possibly convince me as a lawyer, and I'm sure as you guys out in the field for many years, that a program of this extent and nature would not have had its origin and thought processes approved and looked over carefully by people beyond the local offices here in Arizona. This had to go up to the Department of Justice. It had to go beyond anybody locally. Dennis Burke wouldn't have the authority to do this program, nor do I think the local ATF would. Am I missing something, or does that sound logical?
No, that's absolutely accurate. This thing, based on 25 years in this agency, had to be vetted first and foremost through ATF's chief counsel before they would ever go outside to the Department of Justice and put their spin on it to just try to justify it, which is ridiculous in and of itself, before. So our attorneys had to be all over it.
So now they're banding together, basically. They're not conducting any transparent investigation. They're stonewalling the Congress that's trying to do an investigation. They won't allow records, I guess, of the Department of Justice to be put forward, as you're pointing out. We know it went to somebody in the Department of Justice, at least one person. But apparently that person isn't talking, I guess. And so the question is how far up something like this could have gone. And as I said, I don't think personally listening to this that it's a coincidence that Dennis Burke was an assistant, chief assistant to Janet Napolitano, who's now the head of Department of Homeland Security. You can't convince this particular person here at this studio that there wasn't some discussion that had to have gone on between the two of them, or close friends. But yet she's denying any knowledge of this. Do you find that believable?
Dennis, the allegations when they first came out were unbelievable to ATF agents. ATF agents across the board said, no way. There's no way this happened. And now with the development of information, albeit through the stonewalling from DOJ, there's every reason to believe that this conspiracy, this controversy, equals Watergate and Iran-Contra.
Yeah.
That's not an overt exaggeration. It's not. It's simply, it is.
Except with one exception. This involves somebody that died and those didn't. So it's actually worse.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, where do you guys think this is going to lead to? Give me your thoughts on that.
I have no idea at this point. As long as Chairman Issa and Senator Grassley stay vigilant, that's their job to do that and provide oversight. If they get the answers, then hopefully accountability will be held, and we can write this and restructure our bureau in a way that this could never happen again. The system prevented us, dozens of us across country, from being heard because they spun it inside and the information never got out. You know, we've been screaming for years that these sort of things were going on, this gross mismanagement, waste, fraud, and abuse. Virtually every one of our directorates were failing. That's a word of the OIG, not my words.
Well, let me ask, who has picked up this story other than Fox News? Has any other media outlet even bothered to look into this with you?
Well, CBS was, you know, initially, and I think to date, has been very active on it. CNN has been on the fringe, has not delved into it. But until it hits, you know, until everybody realizes what happened in Arizona, Arizona's paid a hefty price for this program. And you're going to be paying for a long time to come. Your law enforcement officers, your civilians are at risk until we recover all 2,000 of those guns.
All right.
The Mexican people are at risk.
Yeah, we have just a brief period of time before we have to take our break for the day. But I guess the other question that's nagging at me listening to you guys on this Operation Fast and Furious thing is, Given your many years of experience there at ATF, is it possible even that somebody could have seriously believed they could track all these weapons after they left this store that sold them? I mean, what thought process could go into that? And is that realistic that anybody at ATF could believe that?
John Stewart said that if this was a plan they went with, what was the plan they turned down?
Right. Seriously.
I mean,
yeah.
Dennis, this controversy is going to go well beyond the pay grade of the people at ATF. It's going to go into DOJ. I think it's going to go outside of DOJ and end up at the door of the Oval Office.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take our break for the day. I very much appreciate both of you, Vince Cefalù and Jay Dobbins from ATF, appearing and being brave enough to talk about this crazy topic of Operation Fast and Furious and how it could have occurred. We will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 5. Until then, hang in there, and if anybody out there can figure out what went on in this thing, come forward, because it's truly a terrible, terrible tragedy what happened to Brian Terry as a result of it. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Business owners, if you would like to create a loyal audience of raving fans, text Mojo to 411-247 and turn prospects into paying customers. Grow your business with video marketing. Grab your free video consumer report and discover 8 critical videos every business should have, 10 reasons why every business needs to use video to survive in this economy. Take advantage of this free report by texting Mojo to 411-247 or go to mojovideomarketing.com/free.
A child is taken, but there is hope through the Arizona Amber Alert. An Amber Alert provides the public with information that could lead to the safe recovery of a child. When a child is missing, everyone plays an important role. To learn more about the details of a specific Amber Alert, dial 511 or go to azamberalert.org. Together, we can all help save a child. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. KFNX News Time. It's